lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 3 of 164.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 20, beginning with verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, ye might have life through his name.
We hope to remember in prayer Eric and Eliana van Hagenbos, who were blessed with a well-born girl on April the 8th. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of the earth, the devil is such a liar unto thy church and unto this whole world. For he says it unto our children and our youth and in the hearts also of many in thy visible church, that it is a life that is full of sorrows. It is a life that is full of disappointments, and that it is nothing but sorrows. And it is nothing but trials and tribulations. And why should you desire to be part of that people? But we may prove him to be wrong on this thy holy day, on every Sabbath day, and when we come round about thy word of truth on the first day of the week, to commemorate the rising again of thy dear Son from the dead, so that every enemy of thy church and may go away with shame, even as the soldiers away from the grave. For there is no one that is able to stand before thy power, and thou art going to take care of all thy church, even unto the end of this world, so that there will not be one of them that does perish. O Lord, thou dost sit upon thy throne in the heavens in this day, and thou knowest all that takes place here upon this world. Thou knowest where that thy people are. Oh, how often that Satan lies also unto them. And when they are cast down in their sorrows and in their tribulations, and that he says that it shall never be different in your life, but thou art able to make it different in a moment. We have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. O Lord, make thy people glad, all thy disciples, when they may see thee by a true and a living faith, that thou may appear unto them, and that thou may reveal thyself unto them. Wilt thou change their ashes into beauty? Wilt thou change their mourning into joy? Wilt thou give them the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness? Oh, that they might feel and see, and that thou dost live, and that thou art the victor over all death, hell, sin, and the grave, and that there is nothing that is able to keep a sinner, as they are out of that glory, to be with thee forever and forever. Oh, that thou may show them that foundation that thou hast laid in the suffering and in the death of thy dear Son. Oh, open unto them that justification of him which thou hast shown in the day of his resurrection, and that all things are now accomplished, and that all thy law is now fulfilled, that debt is paid, that there is nothing anymore that does stand between him and thyself, and when all the sin of thy church was laid upon him, and all the iniquity of thy people he did bear. Oh, then that they might see something, how that there is nothing that is between thee and their soul. Oh, that thou may justify thy people, O Lord, in the court of their own conscience, and that thou may bring them into that court where they have to die, and where they have to be condemned. Oh, that they may be given to say it is right. Oh, that they might say that I will praise him from the bottom of the hell, and that thou mayst give unto them thy salvation. For thou didst not lay long in that grave. Oh, when they thought everything was finished, and when they thought their salvation had all been taken away, that everything was not true anymore, and then in a moment that thou didst give them that hope, once again that dost save their soul, and thou didst make it all true again, all in a moment for thy people. Oh, bless them, Lord. Could it please thee to make it an Easter day, even in this day, and when thy word goes forth over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, what a wretchedness and a misery does this world lie in. All is carnal, all is vain, all is superficial, all is condemned, all is soon to be burned up. And when this world shall be purified, oh, that thou mayest show men in this world what is the cause of our misery. Oh, that thou mayest show unto him what is the remedy for our misery, and that thou wouldst leave us and our children not behind to suffer in the lowest part of hell, having received the greatest privileges of all the men upon the earth. Lord, wilt thou not deal with us according to our many sins? Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted thy people. Oh, turn again their captivity, as the streams in the south. Wilt thou look upon all the needy ones? Oh, we remember in a special way that father that is still being sought with his companion. Oh, Lord, help all that go to seek for them. Oh, if it could please thee that they yet may be found alive. Oh, that they might yet be spared, and that thou mayst remember in thy mercy. For thou alone art able to do it, and that thou mayest uphold all those that are that love him and that are round about them. Oh, deliver, Lord, in thy might and in thy power, in thy mercy and in thy grace. Thou hast given gladness in the midst of a family, once again in our midst, that thou may remember the child. That it may be born to be born again. Could it be one of thy own dear children? And that thou may gladden the heart of the parents, grandparents, and loved ones together. Oh, thou givest seed in the midst of thy church. Wilt thou give an increase also in the new births among us, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, remember all the afflicted ones, those that receive treatments for serious diseases. Thou knowest where that they are, those that are addicted to drugs, to alcohol, pornography, and all the wiles of the devil. Help them, O Lord. Thou dost say, resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. Oh, then there is so little ability in man in these cases to resist that devil who is so strong and we are so weak. And they do experience it, O Lord, from day unto day. Oh, give them strength from above, and that thou mayst teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight. And oh, show unto us all together that we are no different, that we are all cut of one cloth, that we are all together gone aside, and that there is none that doeth good. Oh, that we may be given to humble ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, and that all that thou hast done for thy church may become so necessary also for us. And that thou may show unto a condemned people the beauty of thy dear Son, and that he may appear, O Lord, in all his glory. Could it be even just looking through the lattice, oh, just a little view of his blessed eye, of his blessed lips, to hear a little word therefrom? Oh, then there is such a sweetness for that people who are in themselves condemned before thee, who cannot stand before thee, who cannot answer thee one of a thousand. Look upon them. Oh, Lord, remember all those that have difficulties and needs of the body and of the mind, those that do grow old, the widows, widowers, orphans, all those that have special crosses, they are known to thee themselves and loved ones. Care for them and give them to know and to feel and that there is a God in heaven and that he is not in the grave, but that he lives and that he knows. For thou art alive. Remember thou thy church over the length and breadth of this whole world. Increase the number of thy servants, oh, that thou may give, and at the institution of thy ministry, that we hope to hear of for a few moments, that it may be sanctified and blessed over the length and the breadth of this whole world, upon the mission field, where thy servant does labor, with his family and all those that labor with him, and all those that labor on the mission fields in this world, amidst dangers, but also amidst disappointments and sorrows. But thou hast a remnant, it is a little remnant, or that they may be found also in those places, and then all that labor, as shall not fall to the ground without fruit. Lord, remember all thy church. Wilt thou be with us also? Help us in this afternoon hour. Strengthen us for our labors. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Give a word from thee to this one or that one that thou knowest, that thou hast given in our midst. And thou knowest all their places of thy own people. Speak unto them, O Lord, as thou didst speak unto thy disciples. Show thyself and make them glad when they may see the Lord. For Jesus' sake, amen. 421 stanzas 2, 4, and 6. The sparrow finds a house to rest. The swallow deftly builds her nest and broods her young hard by thine altar. We make the following announcements. Len Berger and Wilina Arnold-Dusen hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, April 22nd at 1:30 p.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, April the 19th. Christian Bredeweg and Miriam Jansen hope to be united in holy matrimony on Wednesday, April the 27th at 11:30 a.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Monday, April the 25th. The following persons have been examined by the consistory and accepted to make confession of faith: Daniela Busicum, Robert Jansen, Genevieve Van Herk, Calvin Niels, Michaela Niels, Chad Oudshoorn, Mark Vandewege, Stephanie Arnold-Dusen. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, April the 29th. 421, 2, 4, and 6. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was raised upon that cursed tree. It was the desire of Christ for the application of the work which he himself was accomplishing. What is more important than the forgiveness of our sins? Because to be forgiven, that is to be placed on the right hand. And not to be forgiven is to be placed on the left hand. Thus, is there any interest in a personal way? That is a question we may ask each one for ourselves, not only when we become old, but also when we are young children. Is there a need that we also may be forgiven, and that we might know that we are forgiven by the Lord? When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, then he spoke himself, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Maybe you have thought, young people, sometime, oh, if I could only have lived at the time that the Lord Jesus was on the earth, because then I could have gone to him. Did you ever think that? Oh, then I would have gone to him. Then I would have bowed before him. Then I would have asked the Lord if he would also forgive my sin. But that is not possible anymore. Why? Because he is not here anymore. He is now in heaven. Thus, is it not possible anymore that our sin may be forgiven, and that this may be spoken unto us by the Lord himself? Oh, certainly it is. That is the reason that the Lord has instituted a ministry. The words of our text can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 20, verses 22 to 23. John 20, verses 22 to 23. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." So far the words of our text. The apostles equipped for their office, first with a divine presence, second with a divine authority. The apostles equipped for their office, first with a divine presence, second with a divine authority. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you." Why did the Lord Jesus say that to them again? Maybe you do that too, fathers and mothers. When you have a child that is very afraid, And then you say, you do not need to be afraid. But then you find you need to say it to them again. And so that was also with the disciples. And they also were afraid. And it seems when God's children are afraid, then the Lord can speak unto them once, but often they do not hear. And then it is of the mercies of the Lord that He is willing to say it unto them again. It is a great blessing when we may have peace with our fellow man. Peace, he says, be unto thee. But Satan has declared war. He has declared war in heaven. He has declared war also in paradise. Thus, we cannot expect that there will be a peace in an outward way upon this world, if it is a wonderful thing, when we may have peace between men. And then how much more wonderful is that thing that a man may have peace with God? Have we peace with God? Maybe we have never thought that it was not peace between God and our soul. As that the Lord never opened unto us, that there is displeasure from the Lord. Have we never felt anything in a personal way of that displeasure? Have we never walked over the world feeling, believing that the Lord is angry with us? That our sin stands between Him and us. That there is no way that the Lord can receive us unto Himself as long as that iniquity, as long as that transgression, as long as that fallen nature is standing between Him and my soul, sin. Makes separation. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. He said that to whom? He said that to His disciples. It is the evening of the resurrection of Christ when they are gathered together. That was a common greeting in that time. Peace be unto you. We don't say it like that anymore, do we, children? No. We say it maybe in a different way. But when we say it, then so often we don't really mean it. We don't really think about it. How do you think that was with the Lord Jesus? Do you think that He ever spoke words which did not come out of His heart? Do you think He ever spoke words that did not have a true meaning? Thus, when the Lord Jesus speaks these words unto His disciples, then it is not just as a common greeting, because the Lord Jesus does not speak lightly. No, and in a special way, the Lord Jesus gives to these words a very special significance, peace. And then in the evening of His own resurrection, then it is a confession of what has just taken place. All then He may say, and that everything has been accomplished, that everything has been merited for you, my disciples. Oh, then He may say that your debt has been paid. Then He may show by His own presence and that the Father has declared his satisfaction, and that he has received from him that payment, and that there is no reason anymore that his people need to perish or that they should be cast away from the sight, the presence, the countenance of his Father. That is the most blessed thing when a person who is condemned may hear such words as the Lord Jesus spoke. Peace be unto you. And when they may hear those words from him, that is why he says it to them again and again and still. How does he say it? If he is now in heaven, then it is necessary that he also have means to say that to his church, who is here upon the world. And so we read that here. Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. What does he do? The Lord Jesus establishes a ministry to do his work. Who can fathom this? This congregation is of the greatest importance. Not only what has taken place in the meriting of that salvation for his people, but now in that work of application, in going forward, that it may be distributed throughout the whole world, that it may be brought for the sake of the bringing in of his own kingdom. How shall this now take place? The Lord Jesus tells here something of how that he intends to distribute the blessings that he has merited for his people. How he intends to say unto his people, thy sins be forgiven thee, when he is in heaven. How can he do that? Well, there are more ways he can do that. We know that the Lord Jesus spoke to his apostles in order that they may write his word. He inspired them. Thus he spoke to them in a direct manner. Was it necessary that the Lord give to mankind his word? The Lord does not have to work in this way. It is possible that without the word, he can gather his church throughout the whole world. Then he can speak to them directly, and he can bring them in without any message going out unto the whole world, without any message going out unto a visible church, that there only be that remnant. The Lord is free, but he did not choose to do this. No, he chose instead to institute a ministry, a means by which that he may gather that church and that he may bring them in. Who can fathom what that was for these disciples to be chosen? To be chosen to do this work. To be called by him. To be sent by Christ himself. Were they not sent before? Oh, Christ, he had sent them out. Two and two. They had to go first unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then, oh, for a moment here, for a moment it seems like it is not true anymore. and at that office that is not given unto them. Because for a moment here, then they think even their salvation itself, that has come into the grave, and then all is done. But what does the Lord do? The Lord renews it for his disciples. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. What a privilege. Think so too, boys? That is a privilege? Maybe you say, well, then I would have to be always busy with the Bible. What do you think of that? You know, there are people, even ladies, girls, the Lord converts them. And then they say, oh, I wish I could always be busy in those things. Then they are jealous of God's people. But they are jealous also of God's ministers, the elders, the deacons. Why? Oh, that house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is precious to them. Oh, they desire that they could think about nothing else, that they would not have to be entangled with all the things that are in this world, and that all their days they could read the Word of God, and that they could be busy in those things. What a privilege. And that it was for those apostles to be called and sent into the ministry by Christ himself. But it is not only a privilege, it is much more. It is also for them a great responsibility. What have they to deal with? Not just with wood or with metal. No, they have to deal with people. They have to deal with souls that never die. There is no more important work in this world. Those souls will be lost or saved. Is that depending on them? No. But it is their work. Oh, what a responsibility. Not only a responsibility, what an impossibility. How can they do that work? They have a character. They have a nature. All those disciples, they were themselves carnal, looking for an earthly kingdom. Were they ready to go into trials and tribulations and afflictions? They fled from them. And asking fire to come down from heaven to consume the people whom the Lord Jesus says he has come to save. Did the Lord not know that? How impossible a thing that would be for such men as his apostles. Who knew it better than he? Oh, he does not intend to leave them to their own devices, to their own character, to their own wisdom. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What is that? That is the furnishing of his office bearers. And with what are they furnished? They are furnished with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Are you jealous of them? Do we ever ask the Lord for the Holy Ghost? Would you ever ask that, boys and girls, of the Lord? Maybe you say, I would like to have this. I would like to have that. Would you ever ask the Lord, "Oh Lord, give to me the Holy Ghost"? What is that? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. Does not have flesh and bones, the Lord Jesus says, like you see me have. It does not have a physical body. So you say, well, if I cannot see it, it is not there. It does not exist. Many in the people in the world say that. Is that true? Does love exist? Does that exist, young people? Love? Cannot see it, but you feel it, right? And you see something in other people that is coming out of love. That is, you see the fruits of love. Thus, is it true that because you cannot see something, it does not exist? That is not true. Can you see the wind, boys and girls? So I cannot see the wind. You know what the Lord Jesus says? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. That is from the wind, the effects of the wind. Cannot tell from whence it cometh, it cannot tell whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Thus, you cannot see him. But there are fruits. Fruits that come from that Holy Spirit by which that Spirit may be known to be present. What are some of those fruits? Read that in different places in the Bible. Paul says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, speaks also about righteousness, about truth, about obedience, access to the Father, all fruits of the Spirit. Holiness, wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, the discerning of spirits. To the Corinthians, the apostle speaks about deliverance from the veil in the reading of Moses. What is that? That veil in the reading of Moses. That is what the Jews had, a veil over their eyes that they were not able to see through that veil. When they read Moses, when they read the law, when they read the ceremonial law, and that was all carnal things that had a carnal sanctuary. Which sanctuary was done away in Christ. And when he came, then that veil that was still over their eyes, they could not see through that veil to the spirituality of the law. They could not see through the fulfillment of Christ concerning all those things which were carnal, that were laid upon their fathers in the Old Testament as a burden that also our fathers were not able, it is said, to bear. He breathed on them. What is that? That is the breath of the Almighty. Read that also in the beginning of the Bible, boys and girls. Then the Lord created man, and then there was just the body, and there was no life. And how did there come life? The Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that is, the breath of the Almighty, the Holy Spirit that is proceeding, we read in the Bible, from God the Father and God the Son. Thus, the Holy Spirit is the breath of Christ. His speaking, his word, as a two-edged sword. That Holy Spirit is a gift of Christ. It is bestowed on whom he will, on whom he chooses, on whom he sends. The Holy Spirit that is given by measure according to his will. It is not always the same. Thus, there are degrees by which the Spirit of the Lord is given unto his people. What did John the Baptist say concerning Christ? He said that the Spirit is not given by measure unto him. That is Christ himself. He had that Spirit in full measure. Oh, you can see that. Why? Because he was a man like you and I on this earth. But he was not carnal like you and I. Oh, the more of that Spirit the Lord gives to his church, the more spiritual they are in the midst of this world. That carnal heart that is a burden unto that people. Therefore, they do ask the Lord for that Spirit, that their treasure may always be in heaven, that they may serve the Lord not only on the Sabbath and not only as the ministers in his house, but every day in this world. Oh, that the carnality, that the vanity, that the superficiality, that the earthly mindedness crawling as a worm here below, that all may be taken away, that they may receive the Spirit of the Lord, oh, to live with thoughts and desires and longings for him, that they may have the knowledge of him, that they may know him more and more, and that his grace may be for them. Oh, the Lord Jesus, having the Spirit without measure. At Pentecost, we read that the Spirit comes to his church, to the apostles, and also unto his church. It came there in a much greater measure. Here, the disciples of the Lord receive the Spirit of the Lord in a greater measure than they had, than they knew before. It is at the beginning of the glorification of Christ, when he is with his human nature going to depart from them, then he begins to shed forth that Holy Spirit first upon his own apostles. It is an earnest. It is a token of what is coming for them in the future. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What did the apostles need more than the Holy Ghost? What does a soldier need? So he needs a sword to do his work, his bloody work. What does a carpenter need? So he needs a hammer. What does a blacksmith need? He needs an anvil. They are his instruments to do his work. How can the Lord's apostles go forth then without the Spirit of the Lord? And yet there is a great difference. because that sword and that hammer and that anvil, they are the instruments of that soldier, the carpenter, and the blacksmith. What happens now when the Lord gives as a gift? We read, He breathed on them. And He gives as a gift the Spirit unto His disciples. Oh, then it is the disciples that become the instruments in the hand of the Spirit. Then it is not the disciples who are working, but now it is the Spirit that is working. Now it is the apostles that become the instruments, so that it is the Spirit who becomes the cause. It is the Spirit's wisdom. It is the Spirit's strength. It is the Spirit's will. Thus, there is a difference between receiving the gift of the Spirit and the Spirit Himself. They are endued with the divine presence. When Paul went to Philippi, then it was by the Spirit. It was not his own decision. No. We read, the Spirit suffered him not to go elsewhere. Couldn't go. Then it is the decision of the Spirit. We read of Stephen that he spoke and his enemies were not able to resist his words and the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. That was not Stephen that was speaking, but it was the Spirit of the Lord that was speaking through him. Of the apostles, Mark writes that they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming His word with signs following. That is all the Spirit of the Lord, simply using them as instruments in His hand. Thus they are given, in our second thought, they are equipped with a divine authority. But let us sing first from 367, stanzas 2 and 4. Far away, God's ark was resting. It is with His people now. We will go into His temple. At His footstool we will bow. And what follows, 2 and 4, of 367. when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That is, congregation, the divine authority that was given unto the apostles of Christ. No one has such an authority. Not of ourselves we can forgive one another. Do we do that? When there is repentance, when there is confession, because that is what the Lord says in his word, if thy brother trespass against thee and rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him, even if that is seven times in a day, without repentance and confession, then there is no forgiveness. But when there is repentance and confession, then there needs also to be forgiveness. But the Lord Jesus does not speak here about us forgiving one another our sins, the sins of one another, and against one another. But he speaks here about the forgiveness of sin against God. And that we cannot do. That we have not the prerogative to do. Whose work is that? That is God the Father. That is the judge's work. But we have heard on Good Friday that judgment is also committed unto the Son. So it belongs strictly to the Father. And now what does the Son do when he is going to go in his exaltation away from his church in his human nature? Then he gives that commission unto his servants. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. He gives them an office. He gives them authority. That is a wonder. Because Christ still remains upon the earth. In his Godhead, in his majesty, in his grace, he still remains here upon this world. Do we believe that? Because that is a very most important truth. For faith to believe that Christ continues his own work here upon the world. He did not remain in the grave. He is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Remittance and retaining of sins, they belonged in the strictest sense of the word to the apostles only. That is not something that was passed on through them to the Pope, to the priests. The apostles, they were given an extraordinary gift of discernment. So we read Elymas the sorcerer. He is struck blind. We can read Ananias and Sapphira. They are struck dead. That is not a discernment that is given to the ordinary ministry in the rest of the world. And yet, that commission remains the same. It is not the same form, but is the same in its essence. Thus, the remittance of sins and the retaining of sins belongs to the office that Christ has instituted, the office of the ministry, and then it is Christ who is working through them. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they have spoken against Moses and Aaron. They said, "Ye take too much upon yourselves, seeing that all the congregation is holy." And the Lord swallowed them up. Why? He says, "They are my office bearers. They are the ones that I have set in the place that I have sent them." Christ continues to call and to send his servants and to work through them. Did you ever experience that? That the Lord works through his servants, through his institution, that has nothing to do with his servants, that has nothing to do with their gifts, whether great or small, has to do with one thing. That is the Spirit of the Lord working through them to bless his own word. When the apostles, they were to be persecuted, the Lord Jesus had said to them that they should not premeditate about what they had to speak. Why not? He says, it is not you that speak. He says, it is the Spirit of the Lord that is speaking through you. That is a mystery, isn't it? How was that when they have written the Bible and the Lord has inspired them to write the Scriptures? Then he is not saying to them mechanically every word. No, he is working through them, through their natures, their characters, through all the experiences of their life. And they are writing, but the Spirit is writing. The Spirit is writing in the first place. They are only an instrument in the hand of the Lord. There is no more inspiration today. And yet the Lord, he is working in a similar way through his institution. And it is now through faith that is taking hold of that word that is preached by his servants. Oh, do we know this in our life? What takes place? What has taken place in your life in the house of the Lord? Because true faith that takes hold of the truth of the word of God when it is preached, the Spirit of the Lord working in a powerful way to awaken men, to edify his people. We read Lydia attended. What kind of attention was that? That was an attention that was given to her by the Spirit of the Lord. Thus, that faith that is being wrought under the institution that the Lord himself has made. And now what does the Lord declare in that? All the Lord is declaring that the Father is receiving a penitent sinner. That is what we have on Easter Day. That is why the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace be unto you." Then it is declared and preached that the basis for the forgiveness of sins, that has been set, that has been established, that it is very, very firm, and that the Lord is receiving repentant sinners unto himself. Oh, it is by that faithful preaching of sin and grace. It is by the faithful preaching of law and gospel that the Lord is building his church, that the Spirit of the Lord is working among his people, and that the Lord is remitting, that the Lord is forgiving the sin of his people. Oh, there is good reason that Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that publisheth peace. Oh, how beautiful are those offices. Did you ever say that in your heart? How beautiful is that institution of the Lord, because it has been blessed also to my own heart. Does faith then question because, well, it is a man? Does faith then question because a man has shortcomings? No. It is that Spirit of the Lord that makes it true in the life of his people. Thus the Lord is putting a stamp upon his own ministry, upon his own servants. Whosoever sins he remit, they are remitted unto them. It was not just a person that said that. Who said that? Christ himself. And we know that the Father has committed this work we heard unto him. And thus, in the day of his resurrection, he is committing it to his servants. It is his promise. Now they have a task. Even so send I you. I send you to Jew and Gentile. I send you through the entire world. That this work that I have accomplished, that I have finished, that is established, that the Father has shown, and that is all accepted by him, oh, that you may bring that message unto the whole world. Congregation, in the preaching, Christ is not far away. No, it is the opposite. He is so very, very near. When his word is going out by the mouth of a mere creature, we do not need to wish that the Lord Jesus would return from his glory, where he is in this day with his Father. Because his promise that is remaining with his church even to this very day. When does repentance begin? It begins in true regeneration. And what do we read in God's word? That there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, he knows where that soul is. Because he has done it. Because it is his own spirit. That is, the people that are forgiven by him, they will come to know that. In his own time, they will receive the revelations of his dear Son by his Spirit through the Word. The Lord working through that Word. Oh, is it not a wonder then that the Lord, in the day of his resurrection, he has so sent forth and breathed in such a way upon his own apostles? But there is another side. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What an awful thought, to be an instrument for the retaining of the sin of a man. It is fulfilled through the preaching. It is fulfilled through the church discipline. Then the Lord doesn't only say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you. He says, also say unto the wicked that it shall be ill with you. What a self-denying sacrifice is rejected by a man who will not repent, refuses to acknowledge his sin, than to reject that sacrifice which the Father has declared was satisfactory to him, when a man would only be sorry, when a man would only turn away from his iniquity. Oh, we are so proud. We are so guilty. We are all cut of that same cloth. It is not in our nature to bow. That is a gift of that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, do we know it also, that gift for ourselves? Congregation, then that faithful preaching that is saying to that people that there is no forgiveness for you. No forgiveness for you. He says their sins are retained. As long as there is no remorse, as long as there is no godly sorrow, that is the word of God. What did the Lord say to Ezekiel? He showed him that in that valley, dry bones. And then he said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Prophesy unto those dry bones. And he says, I will cause breath to enter into them. Just speak to them, Ezekiel, and I will breathe on them. What gave the life? Ezekiel speaking, or the Lord's breathing? How do we come up to hear a man speaking? Then we cannot be converted, cannot be forgiven. But that breath, do we come up to the house of the Lord beseeching him for that breath, by which breath I may be given life from the dead, by which breath I may receive the forgiveness of all my sins? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou instruct us in thy truth? For thou hast paid the price, but thou dost also declare it, even in our days, to us and to our children, that thou may raise up men who are truly converted and called by thee. Also, when the curatorium hopes soon to meet once again, O Lord, that thou thyself may labor, and that thou may call, that thou may send, that there may be a hope, that there may be a working in the midst of the congregations, that there may be much of that power of thy Spirit to be experienced, and that thou wouldst take away and forgive all that is amiss within us and without. And wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing, help us in this week, gather with us in the days ahead, in singing together, as a consistory, also in the day when a couple hopes to be united in holy matrimony, that thou may be in our midst. Also when thy word is preached, that there may be a desire to hear, and that thou thyself may bless them together. Do a care also for all those that need thee. Once again, we lay before thee the war and all those who are refugees that thou may remember and bring peace also to that land. Forgive all that is amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, stanzas 5 and 6. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who, when they hear thy voice, in happiness abound. And with steadfast step they walk, their countenances beaming with brightness of the light that from thy face is streaming. 5 and 6 of 422. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.